Hello and welcome to the Hellas Football Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen, and joining me today, firstly, is Nigor. How are you, mate?
Very good. Very excited to be on, talk all things Ethniki. Remember when I think it was you and I were doing a lot of those off-season episodes?
Yeah.
And we were saying this season coming up is going to be the biggest ever for Greek football in such a long time. Here we are. This is what we meant. It's all eyes now on March. There's lots of club football to be played between now and then. And it's all on the line for the clubs as well to be playing knockout European football. This is what we were talking about back then, and here we are. It's happening now.
Yeah, and I guess it's a good start for Greek football club and country-wise. So hopefully all sides capitalise on the kind of good start to the season for Greek football. And also we have Christian. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, Steve. And as Nicole was just saying, you know, massive season ahead and it's coming to fruition. You know, domestically got our, you know, big clubs fighting in Europe and the Ethniki, it's going to be a nervous wait until March and then when, you know, March 24th comes around, which I'm sure we'll get into.
Yes, we'll definitely get into that. And well, before we get into the Euro qualifiers, we'll start with the Ethniki playing a friendly match last Friday against New Zealand in the Yorgos Kamaras Stadium with no fans, just the UEFA officials, because the stadium didn't meet UEFA standards, so that's why there were no fans, because people were asking me. And it was a bit of a joke. But yeah, Greece got the win 2-0 against New Zealand. Konstantelias scored fortunate but very, very cool goal. If you haven't seen it, try and check it out. It was a really, really smart goal from him. Giacomakis scored just before the half-hour mark, poacher's goal, and that's how it ended, really. Greece were comfortable in the first half. Second half, they weren't great with the changes that Gus Poyet made, but it was a friendly. It doesn't mean anything. It was comfortable for Greece, very routine. We won't focus on it too much, guys, but give me one thing from both of you from this game.
Konstantelias' first goal for the Ethniki. As you said, not a great goal or anything. It was a bit of luck on his side, but good to get the monkey off his back and grab his first international goal, and hopefully many, many more to come in the future.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good that I think that might have been his first start off the top of my head as well. So,
maybe,
good on him for the first goal. Yeah, and good on him as well for the first goal. And, you know, Giacomakis is continuing, you know, albeit a bit fortuitously, sort of a bit of a mini scoring run for him as well.
Yeah, good that Greece can win friendlies, I guess, even though they're meaningless. And now we move to the game that, well, also ultimately meant nothing, but it was still an exciting game. Greece hosted France at Hagia Sophia in the final Euro 2024 qualifier, and it ended 2-2 in a very exciting second half. The first half wasn't so great, but just before halftime, Kolomouani scored in the 42nd minute, and in the second half, the captain, Bakayeta, scored an absolute bomb of a goal. Really, really brilliant strike. He's capable of doing those, as we've seen pretty much ever since the Nations League. And then a few minutes later, Fotis Ioannidis, your boy, Nigor, made it 2-1. And we were in dreamland. We 2-1 up against the French. We thought it might hold on to get the win. But unfortunately, Fofana scored in the 74th minute to make it 2-2. And that's how it ended. And like I said, this game meant nothing in the grand scheme of things, because Greece do finish third in the group, and it is playoffs for Greece in March, as you said, Christian. But guys, can we take confidence from this game, despite the fact France played a weaker side than they normally would? It's still a good French team, so can we be confident in this performance? I'll go to you first, Nicole.
Absolutely, we should take it all and bottle it and keep it and use it for March. This French side, their depth is insane. Oh, I remember saying to you guys before the game in the week leading into it, French football, they've got the best depth in world football. That runners up at the most recent World Cup this time last year, ranked number two in the world. They were a kick away from winning that World Cup. As we said, their depth, they can play their B, C, D teams and still beat good countries. Not the elite, but still the good countries. And okay, I thought they were going to rotate a lot more for it, and they didn't, but they still named, as you said, Stephen, a strong side. And tale of two halves, as you said, the first half was very dull, lots of back passing, lack of not lack of effort, lack of energy, lack of creativity, lack of intent. The time wouldn't pass, it felt like. Then they get their goal. Not that they offered more of a threat than us. They hit the post with Griezmann about midway through the first half as well. I'm not going to knock the guy too much for the goal Vlachodimos. I think he should have done better for the first goal. Second one, debatable, but first one from that tight angle, no way he should be conceding. But everyone's allowed an off day. The guy's bailed us so many times, even in the reverse fixture. He was man of the match in Paris. Second half, though, it's like a switch was flicked. That goal that the French scored came at the best time. We were a different team. I don't know what words were said at halftime. It was a free hit. The players themselves, the coach, I don't know what it was, but we showed for about 20-odd minutes what this team's capable of if they go full throttle. They came out like a team possessed, and they had the French, a very good French side, on the back foot. I don't think Mbappe, they weren't going to play him, I don't think. He wasn't going to play a role. The fact that they brought him on says it all. Okay, he got an assist for their second goal. But we were so good. Like, yeah, I knew this played a part in the first goal as well. As you said, Stephen, bomb goal. Bakasetas made his debut. I was at the game in 2016 here in Sydney. 2016 to 2020, zero goals as an attacking midfielder, as a second, you know, shadow striker sort of thing for the Ethniki. Zero goals international in 4 years. 2020 to 2023, 13 goals. And, you know, he's at that peak age, this tournament, God willing, we make it. He's at his peak. We've got to make it count in March because this is it for him. The second goal, I haven't celebrated an Ethniki goal like that for a long time. Okay, it was not only because it was Ioannidis as well, that added to it, but the fact that we're also 2-1 up against probably the best European team at the moment, for sure. And, unfortunate we didn't hang on. Then we sort of went in our shell. I mean, this is why Poyet cops it from us. We might be in a minority. People like myself, Elaine, I know. There's a few others, Borstalo. There's a few of us as well. He takes off Ioannidis and puts Zeka on. And I like Zeka, but the guy can't make our team. He's made like two substitute appearances and he comes on. Okay, it's a meaningless game, but defies logic, that one. And the French are able to fight their way back, and we're unfortunate probably not to win the game in the end. They had the ball rolled in and didn't cross the whole line. The French reckon it did. All that wasn't given. Then they hit the post as well. But well-earned point. We were good value for it. Bottle the confidence. That's the moral of the story. Bottle it. And we play like that in March, especially those 20 minutes. We won't have a problem against Georgia's, Kazakhstan's, Luxembourg. Over to you, Christian.
Yeah, so Christian, in terms of the formation, what did you think of it? Because people were kind of skeptical of the really defensive formation we played against the French. But, I mean, in a way, it didn't work the entire game. But at points it did work, especially when we were in the early part of the second half when we did equalise and then we went to a 2-1 up. And this is something that, yeah, I just want to ask you, what did you think of the choices that Poyet made for that, and also the choices he made that Nigel referred to with regards to substitutes and stuff?
Yeah, look, I'll start with the formation. And I think maybe like a lot of fans, we saw the same formation, you know, roll out pre-game before our match at home with Holland. And, you know, five at the back, two up front, three in midfield. It had a very defensive feel about it. And that first half, it was very much that, you know, same theme we saw against Holland at home. You know, nowhere near enough going forward. And okay, defensively, bar, of course, the goal we conceded. In terms of sort of where it went wrong, Vlachodimos, you know, sure, it's near post, but that shot for me was hit with so much power, you know, not many would have saved that, I don't think. And if you look closer, I think Ioannidis actually didn't track the run of Kolomoani, nor did he block the shot. That's the arc was a bit out of position as well. The substitutions, you know, you're right, Nico, you know, Zeka on for, I think, Masuras, and then Pavlidis for Ioannidis. Yeah, I was a bit confused as well. I can't remember off the top of my head if they came when we were 2-1 up or right when we conceded. Yeah.
When we're up.
Okay, so maybe from that point of view, it's maybe a park the bus situation, protect what we have. I don't know. The game itself, I just sort of touched on the first half. Second half, like, and I was scratching my head where these goals are going to come from. And I was pleasantly surprised driving to work, just checking, you know, red lights when I could, the scores. And then I see Bakasetha said equalized, and I yelled down my car. Like, people in the street probably were looking maybe a little bit worried. You know, this bloke's having a fit. And then I pull into my work driveway and I see, I need this, puts us 2-1 up. And you know, my jaw hit the floor. I couldn't believe it. I'm thinking, when this day's over, I'm watching the highlights as quickly as I can. And then Fofana has to ruin it by equalizing for France. But, you know, having caught the replay when I got home that day, like, as you said, Nicole, you know, full value for that point. And, you know, maybe unlucky not to get more. Like, the second half was a big improvement on the first in an attacking sense. And, you know, it took a banger from France to ultimately get a result when you think about it. And they had to throw in Mbappe to help them get that, which they didn't think they had to do. So, it should, as you say, Nico, bottle that confidence, you know, keep it. And it should hold us in good stead to play, you know, the Kazakhstans, Luxembourg and or, you know, Georgia. So, yeah, they've got to have full confidence. And just quickly as well, before I throw to you again, Stephen, players that are sort of, you know, maligned by a lot of fans, and I understand why in part, like your Bouchalakis and your Lazaros Rota, I think, I'll start on Bouchalakis first. His work with Galanopoulos, I think, went a bit unheralded. I think together as a duo, they were quite good in midfield. Like, I remember a long time ago, Galanopoulos makes his debut, I think, next to Cordbelis against Bosnia. And they did a brilliant job together of shutting out Muriel and Pjanic, I think, when we beat him 2-1. And then you see with Bouchalakis, he works really well with, like, those bigger midfield types. I can't really put my finger on why, but it just seems to work when he's next to one of them, which is great. And I think Lazaro Srota, I think, is proving why, you know, Poyet trusts him a lot. You know, he's improving. I think week after or game after game, when we see him play, when, you know, Baldock's not available. So I think that was good to see, you know, a few of those players that do get a bit of hate sort of, you know, stick it up a few, you know, haters, sort of, so to speak.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, Christian. And I'm kind of feel the same sentiment for Masuras as well, because, you know, after eight games in the qualifiers, yeah, he finished as our top scorer. I think, was it 5 goals in 8 games? So, and I said in the chat to you guys earlier, you look at the teams that he scored against, and sure, fair enough, they may not have been of the best quality, but you still have to put those chances away, and they were important goals in the grand scheme of things to at least keep us semi-competitive for those playoff for that top two spot. And so you got to give full credit to him, as frustrating as Masuras can be. And honestly, you know, we as Olympiacos supporters, Christian, we watch him week in, week out, because then he'll go to the national team and do the exact same thing. He's a night and day player, but he has, you see the qualities he has of his work ethic. And when he does put those away, he at least creates those chances. You know, it's worse to have a player that doesn't even create chances, let alone one that does and may miss them on occasion. And like you said as well, Christian, full credit to Yanulis and Roda, who came in for Tsimikas, who I believe was suspended, and also Baldock, who picked up an injury. And particularly for Roda, I think Baldock being there has really made him up his game for the Ethniki. Because I remember when he was the starter for a period before we officially brought Baldock in, and I felt like he wasn't really doing enough to kind of justify himself being there. But with Baldock being there, it's kind of given him the kick up the arse he needs to kind of be like, oh, there's a guy in front of me. I need to up my game if I want to be like, get my chance in these kind of important games. Go on, Christian. What do you want to say?
Yeah, I think Rota, those early days, he was a bit shaky. You know, maybe nerves got the better of him for, you know, lack of appearances. I'm not sure. But I think we're progressively seeing the shakiness. There's less of that. I think he's gaining a lot more confidence, which is good. And, you know, he's playing very well, I think.
I was going to say, out of all these guys, these maligned players, for me, my opinion on Rota, I'm still Vayanidis all the way. That doesn't change. Bouchalakis, still not a fan. Honestly, out of all of them, this game and the whole campaign is what Stephen said, Masuras. I don't have a problem with seeing his name on the team sheet anymore. That speaks volumes. Not only because he's the best of a bad bunch. I mean, that's still a bit of a weak spot for us, the wings. But to his credit, not only was he our top scorer in these qualifiers, he actually, his work rate impressed me a lot in this game specifically. But yeah, he deserves his spot. He's fully deserving of a call-up. And if we do make it to the group stage of the tournament, he deserves a start in the major tournament. Absolutely. As I said, Vaiannidis for me all day, every day for backup. We've seen Ioannidis come in and make the striker spot his own. We'll get onto the strikers later on as well. But trust me, we've seen Ioannidis. And if you think he's good, wait until you see Vaiannidis in full flight for the ethnic year. Trust me.
Yeah, and I think his time will come considering.
How good are we for left back?
Yeah.
How good was Giannoulis? Probably our man of the match.
Yeah, I'd say so.
He did a job on Kunde for that second goal.
I think what you said about
him.
What you said about Vaiannidis, sorry, Nico, I think his time will come. I think if he continues the season he's having at Panathinaikos, I think it'll be hard for Poyet to not pick him. But then, you know, one of the criticisms of Poyet is sometimes he doesn't pick form players. Go on, Christian. What do you want to say?
Yeah, I'm glad Nico brought up Ioannidis. And just quickly on Masuras, you know, definitely deserves his, not just his place in the squad, but the starting spot. Like, he's there for a reason. Work rate's fantastic. And he knows where the net is, you know, whether you want to believe it or not. I'm really glad, Nico, you brought up Ioannidis. I'm calling this now. Right now, he's my second choice behind Yakoumakis for our, you know, in terms of the pecking order, he deserves that 100%. Now, I mean,
Papadidis is brilliant. I'd go Ioannidis first. Hey, that's probably bias in there.
Yeah, but
the guy hasn't got a ceiling.
Yeah, no, he deserves it, man. Like, we talk Masuras' work, right? His is just as good. Like, up front, he's a menace for, like, Saliba at times really, really struggled to handle him. Like, he's
Dutch,
quick, he's strong. That's right. Yeah, Van Dijk as well probably had his problems. Yeah, nah, he's fantastic and definitely
he dominated Saliba, didn't he?
Yeah,
didn't know what hit him. Even in the first half, he was frustrated. And this is what my criticism of a lot of Greek players has been. And I'll get on to Yakoumakis because I grouped them in a similar sort of category. I'll tell you why. Remember, post 2014, Samaras, for example, he was a toothpick. No muscle behind him, nothing. These guys are menaces. They're bulldozers. They're battering rams up front. Yakoumakis, he can do that same job on opposition center backs. So can Ioannidis. They can run him absolutely ragged. And as you said, Pavlidis as well. He's got an eye for goal. We see it at club level. Then there's Duvikas, where we're sport for options up front, where other countries can't find a striker for the life of them. And we've got four really good ones. Really good spot to be in there.
Yeah, and I think for me right now, I'm kind of, unsurprisingly for most, I'm a fence-sitter in this. I think right now it's between Yakoumakis and Ioannidis with regards to the form, because I know Yakoumakis is a bit night and day for the Ethniki, but at least he's kind of inconsistently scoring, whereas Pavlidis, for whatever reason, he just becomes like, it is literally Jekyll and Hyde for club and country. Club, no problem. He'll score for days for AZ Alkmaar, but for the Ethniki, almost never scores, whereas at least with Yakoumakis, he can do it. Maybe I'd like to think every three games you'll see him score or so. Whereas, Ioannidis, when he's been given the opportunity, he's taken it and run with it, especially in the big games. And that's what's really impressed me about him.
I'll tell you what it is on Pavlidis, because I've seen him now closely the two games against Villa in the Conference League. AZ Alkmaar play so free flowing, attacking. It's a lot of supply from wide areas, constant ball after ball after ball in, trying to get in behind defences. He hasn't got that service for the Ethniki, where we're a bit more defence-minded compared to AZ Alkmaar. There, it's literally revolving around him, the attack. Whereas for Greece, when he plays, it's not really like that. Ioannidis, another funny stat, we said Bakasetas' goals for the Ethniki. Ioannidis, 5 appearances against French sides this season, 5 goal contributions. So Marseille, goal there, 90th minute penalty, 2 goals against Rennes, and a goal now against France. And this goal against France would have added at least 5 million on his transfer value. Olympiacos back then, you guys what? Sold Red Sauce for over 20 million euro back then.
Yeah.
What's your Ioannidis worth?
Well, this is the meme that keeps going around. This is the meme that keeps going around, Nick. Like, because he's Greek, he's only worth like 15 mil. But if he was Brazilian, English, or Spanish, or whatever, he would be worth like 5 times the amount. That's the meme that keeps going around. Go on, Christian. Mm-hmm. You wanted something to say.
Yeah, look, just quickly on Ioannidis before I go back to another point. It's no secret why, you know, your Eintracht Frankfurt's are looking at him to funnily enough, replace Kolo Muani, who'd left for PSG in the summer. So the guy's got, as you said, Nico, he's got no ceiling. Like, his future's, like, it's going to be massive. And we touched on Jakub Mäkiš again there before. For me, along with, and in a different sort of way, he and Korbelis, for me, get free tickets in this squad because they offer something no one else does, right? Because Jakub Mäkiš is that completely different sort of striker to a Pavlidis, where, you know, strong, holds it up, you know, really, really good in the air. And for mine, we don't have another defensive midfielder like Korbelis, because you see how good he is, like, from that defensive point of view with the tackles and just being just that, you know, brick wall in midfield that, you know, teams really struggle to break down. Like, they're really, really important. And, you know, you got to look past real footballing, you know, talent sometimes with those two, which they do have. I'm not going to say they're useless there, but it's just that, you know, from that point of view, just something different for me. Yeah, they get free passes. They're too important.
I guess now I would ask you guys, as a whole, for the whole qualifiers for the Euros, how do you guys feel about the qualifying process? Because obviously we finished third, and I think that's what most people expected. And for me, it was either finish second or push to the very end and finish third and show that we are capable of at least coming close to reaching the Euros and, you know, make sure that we're well prepared for the playoffs. Would you say that's where we are right now? Or do you think that it's been a disappointment? We finished third with a whimper, and, you know, I'm sure you guys are confident for the playoffs, but would you have been more confident if we pushed Netherlands to the final game? Or are you disappointed with this campaign overall? Kind of, I'll ask Nico first. What were your thoughts about it there?
Tough one, leaning slightly towards disappointed. We can't let the recency bias cloud our judgment. One good second half against the French when they've already qualified, because the preceding three games against them, so France away, which is probably that's the one out of the three where it's understandable to really sit deep and defend. But Dutch, we said they've got their own problems in defense. Two games, we didn't lay a glove on them. Home and away, we didn't attack them at all. So that's a real sore point for me still.
Go on, Christian.
Yeah, the Dutch games are pretty disappointing. There's no doubt about that, particularly the one away. I think we learned a bit of a lesson from that away day with, you know, more the defensive solidity we saw at home, but again, just offered nowhere near enough in attack. So, and as we all know, the game against Holland, the 3-0 result, it really realistically killed any chance we had of, you know, finishing second. So that does hurt. But having said that, I think they've learned a lot from that as well.
And on Poyet, because there's been so much drama ever since the international break started. First, it was his assistant wasn't getting paid for 8 months because he hadn't registered so that he could get paid by EPO. And then there was the talks previously beforehand where he was kind of flirting with the island job. And then he said that he can't guarantee that he's staying. And then he's suddenly saying he does want to stay. But it's I think an article came out yesterday again saying he, you know, his contract runs out in March. Does it run out in March? Does it run out in December? Who knows? It's very much an unknown for a lot of people. So I guess the question I want to ask you guys is, Poyet, do you think he'll stay for the playoffs, or do you think he'll stay for, or do you think he won't stay for the playoffs and leave in December, or do you think he'll stay for the playoffs, get us qualified, and whether we succeed or not, he leaves after that, or he actually takes us to Germany if we can reach that point?
You were on last week. Was it you and George, wasn't it?
Yes.
Back then, if you had asked me a week ago, I thought he would have been gone by now, either sacked or left on his own accord. Now, after he's come out and spoken as well, I think he's going to be there for March. And if we do qualify, I think he's going to lead us into the group stages. Then if we don't go well there, he'll probably leave on his own after the Euros. That's how I see it now. I thought a week ago, though, I thought he was gone.
Go on, Christian.
Yeah, it's hard to see now with all the stuff he said publicly that, you know, him addressing the leave rumors. I think he's here definitely for the playoffs. And should we get there, pretty safe bet he's going to take us, you know, into the group stage. If we don't get to the Euros, God forbid, you know, who knows. But, yeah, definitely for the playoffs, absolutely. He's here until March.
And that's what I'm wondering, yeah. Like, because he's got a lot of criticism recently, and some of it justifiably so. You know, we've talked about the call-ups. We've talked about maybe substitutes and game planning and not having a backup plan for if something doesn't quite work out and is slow to kind of make those changes in those important moments. But he has taken us as close as we've ever got to reaching a European Championships. And then, especially if he gets us there, you know, he has, in a way, earned the right to stay in the job, in a way, hasn't he? Or are you... I know kind of you guys have polarizing opinions on Poyet and whether he should be there or not. But I don't know. I just want to get your guys' thoughts on this, because I'm not sure how to kind of digest this, because I'm pleased with what he's done in certain aspects, but I can understand the frustration of people who are staunchly against him as well.
Yeah, look, I'm against him for the call-ups is the big one. He alienates our more gifted players, of course, Tandelias. Getting a start here and there against New Zealand in a friendly is his first start. Other countries, the kid would have had over 20 caps by now. And here we are, still trying to find our way and blood him in. As I said, Vayanidis, Duvikas, Zolis is another big one that is left out. The football against the better sides, it tells me if we do make the group stage and we get a remotely hard side, we're going to park the bus. And I was pissed off back then with Santos, you know, 2014 was a missed opportunity. That was he played his role in that. For me, it was a big missed opportunity. Look, but if he does get us there, he's got to lead us. If we qualify in March, he has to be there for the group stage. That I can live with. How well we go, who knows? It'll depend, obviously, as well on the group we get, injuries, form of the players. We'll see. We've just got to get the job done in March. What I will say though is, whoever, like, you put maybe like a Skib or not Anastasiadis, but Ranieri, any of those guys, this is our best squad post 2014. We've got guys now, West Ham, Forest, Liverpool, Norwich. That's just the England crew. Then we've got guys around Europe for playing at a good level week in, week out. We've got depth in a lot of positions as well. We touched on the striker depth. A few years ago, we couldn't find the right back. We couldn't find the striker. We couldn't find the right back. Now we've got right backs coming out of our backside. Left back, we're stocked there as well very nicely. Centre back now, there's Kouliarakis. That's probably more deserving of game time as well. There's a lot of options. There's depth now. This is the playing personnel. This is the best spot we've been in. Yeah. In 10 years.
And even in the Super League with the big four strengthening in the last few years, I'm pretty sure that's helped as well, because you're seeing all of these players who are playing for like the big four of Olympiakos, Panathinaikos, AEK and Balk, who are getting these opportunities or close to getting these opportunities that look like they are very much in the fold. Whereas maybe back when we went through those years with Ranieri and, you know, and John Van Schip, even to as recently as that, it didn't feel like there was as much quality coming out of the Super League representing the national team, whereas now they're some of the big players, like you said, Ioannidis is stepping up, and he's Panathinaikos, and you know that's and Asuras too for Olympiakos. These are players playing in the Super League, and they're stepping up.
Yeah, that's Jovanovic. I mean, the kid, when we signed him in 2020, we had some strikers back then as well, and this is a kid from the Khorafia of Levadiakos, from Levadia. I mean, there were Panathinaikos supporters that were opposed to signing him back then. This is, as you said, the Panathinaikos and the other club strengthening, but for a Panathinaikos thing specifically, this is Jovanovic who has molded this kid to what he is today.
And Christian, just back on Poyet, because I know I'm kind of speaking for you here, but I know you're a bit more in favour of him. And so what could you justifiably say that would kind of mean keeping him for the foreseeable future? And do you think he'll, if we get to the, well, we have to get through the playoffs first, but do you think he's justified his job currently and is worth keeping for now?
100% he has, because this is, and I've made this point a few times, he's done what Van Schip failed to do for the World Cup qualifiers, get us that safety net if we need it, right? That's why for me he's an upgrade on Van Schip. I think that's pretty clear, because, and we said, you know, when this Euros qualifying group was announced, you know, we'd do unbelievably well to get second spot. And thankfully, you know, there's the Nations League playoffs to fall back on if necessary. And that's ultimately where we've ended up. So, And for what it's worth, and you're not wrong, Stephen, I have defended this guy a lot, but I do understand, and Nicol brought up some of his selections that can raise a few eyebrows, to say the least. And that's absolutely true. They can. You know, I'd love to see, you know, Konstantelias or Zolis get, you know, a lot more minutes than they have. Like anyone who has followed this team for more than as little as 5 minutes would see that as well. So, yeah, he deserves to be the coach of this team. I think for now he's still in a safe spot, you know, from a results point of view. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of, I'd say I'm probably leaning more towards your sentiment, Christian. And to be honest, for me, at the end of the day, whether we qualify for the Euros or not, Poyet's leaving in 2024. I don't think even if we qualify for the Euros and even do semi-decent, I don't think he'll stay beyond that, because he'll use Greece as a stepping stone and go to somewhere where he can keep, like, rebuild his career further, even whether that be for another national team or be for a club side, I think. That's not being really honest.
Ireland.
Yeah, Ireland. And that's a step up, apparently. I guess, yeah, I don't know how that would be a step up. They've got some good players, but yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say that, but I'm biased. And so I guess we'll quickly touch on the playoffs. So Greece, as we all are aware, have been drawn against Kazakhstan for the 21st of March in 2024 for the semi-finals of the Europa... my brain's just gone. The European Championship playoffs. And the draw for who will be playing the final at home will be today, won't it, Nick?
Yeah. I know the Sydney time, it's just after we record, basically. It's in a couple of hours' time. So by the time it's out, this is out, everyone's listening to it will know. It's a few hours away. Stay tuned to our socials. We'll have it out up there, posted everywhere. I think European time, German time, Swiss time, whatever it is, 1 p.m., something like okay. that.
So that midday draw for UK.
Twofold. Yeah, twofold. It's more so for that pot A, that path A / B. You've got Finland, Ukraine, Iceland. One of them will go to path A. The other two will go to path B. Then it's to determine the final host for the three paths.
Sure.
So what we know at the moment is that we host Kazakhstan on the 21st. Of March, and Georgia, the same time, will be hosting Luxembourg the 21st again. They'll be without their main man, as Christian touched on as well, off air, Luxembourg without one of their better players as well, which is why we kept Tsimikas away from starting against the French to avoid the yellow card and a suspension for the semi. And what we do know as well for now is that the final's on the 26th of March, so 5 days apart. March is huge.
Massive. The biggest month for the national team in a very long time. Probably since the playoffs against when we played Croatia was it for the 2018 World Cup?
Arguably bigger, because let's call a spade a spade. Not only were we in a bad state back then, we were underdogs as well. That was before we knew what Croatia was capable of. They made the World Cup final later on, a few months later, but even before that, we knew deep down we were still underdogs. Sure. And we played in a major tournament 4 years ago. Now we're talking 10 years. Long time.
Long, long time.
And we'll be odds on favourite.
Yeah, and this time it's interesting because we are the favourites for this one, Christian, on paper. We do have the best team on paper, but then, you know, that doesn't necessarily translate to it being a good thing for Greece in certain circumstances. But We won't touch too much on the teams yet because we have, you know, it's a long time now. But how confident are you for the semi-finals at the very least?
Yeah, very confident. And we touched on it before. We see, you know, this good, you know, spatchet of minutes against the French, and it should hold us in good stead, you know, from a confidence and a quality point of view. And I don't think we're going to actually sort of have the same mindset as we did against France, against these, you know, teams that are around us, because Poyet seems to be less scared when it comes to, you know, picking a formation, you know, that's more attacking and things like that. So that doesn't mean that we should underestimate, you know, Luxembourg or Georgia or Kazakhstan by any stretch. You know, they've challenged a lot of good teams, not just in their qualifying groups, but, you know, over the last sort of 24 months. And the sort of the caliber of players that we could come up against, you know, that Rodriguez from Luxembourg, obviously Kvaratskhelia potentially from Napoli. And, you know, Kazakhstan have a 11 that was capable of beating Denmark as well in their group. So, you know, 90% of their players, you know, play in Kazakhstan. So the cohesion there, I'd imagine, is pretty strong. You know, those players would know each other pretty well.
Yeah.
So we're going to be up against it as well. And I know you said you didn't want to touch too much on, you know, personnel, Steve, and it is a while away, but one bloke or two actually that I'm hoping really sort of come back into the frame selection-wise, that's Zolis, and this guy has to find a new club before he's even thought about playing for the Ethniki again, and that's Limnios.
Mm.
Got to find a new club in January, you know, get him fit, because people, I think, forget how good he was in Poyet's, you know, early days. You know, he was locked into that right wing spot and no one could stop him. So really, I'm not sure I'd sort of play him right away, but I just want him there as an option sort of thing. But he's got to find a new club. He's got to get out of Germany or stay in Germany, but move clubs.
Well, that's a very good segue, Christian, because moving away from the senior squad, but keeping with the Ethniki, we go to the under-21s. And Greece under-21s defeated Portugal under-21s in the Euro under-21s qualifiers for the 2025 European Championships for the youth side. And Zolis scored to put Greece ahead. And Michalis Banayidis made it 2-0. And eventually Greece under-21s won the game against Portugal. So very good result for them last week. Considering Portugal have some of the best youth players in the world and some of the best youth teams in the world. So good for the young guns to get that result. And I believe that didn't the under-19s reach the elite round of a tournament as well, of qualifiers as well, if I'm not mistaken. I think they lost to Belarus, but because of other results, they reached the elite round, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. I think that's...
Yeah, if only Alain was here, he'd know it to a T, I reckon.
Yeah, yeah, so. he's very up to date with that sort of thing. So, So Greece reached the elite round, the under-19s, in a group containing Turkey, Lithuania, and Belarus. And Greece reached it with I imagine, a better goal difference. I'm not sure if it's head-to-head or not. But that's... and then I guess one last thing on the international break, Cyprus played, of course. Final qualifier lost 3-1 to the Spanish. Not the worst result in the world, I guess. Bileas, who plays for Bansaraygos, got a consolation goal to round off one of the worst campaigns I've ever seen for Cyprus. Cyprus, for those who don't know, scored as many goals as San Marino in these qualifiers, which is a total of 3. So just shows where Cyprus is right now. Not maybe based on quality, but certainly based on mentality. But we did get a 1-0 win against Lithuania. Bit fortunate. Lithuania had a lot of chances they couldn't score, but we take it. And it was exactly a year since Cyprus got a win, which was a 3-2 win in another friendly against Israel. So Cyprus is a mess. You think Greece has been bad? Cyprus is a whole different kettle of fish.
Yeah, we talked, Stephen, off air about Ireland's coach, Stephen Kenny. What about Kits Beyer in the Cyprus hot seat?
I just think
what's going to happen to him?
You know what? I think despite the problems in the Greek FA with Ebo and how they lack kind of the understanding of how to run a footballing nation and how to actually find good coaches and such and all the mess they've done, at least they're active in some way and they make some good decisions on a rare occasion, whereas the Cypriot FA have just... it's worse because they are so disinterested that they don't... it just feels as though they don't care. And I feel like I'm just a curse to all Cypriot managers, because every time I say this manager is going to come in and change things, like with Kostanoglu, who came in before him, and now Kits Beyer, I said that, oh, Kits Beyer might do a decent job. And I asked a few people and they said, yeah, he might be okay. It's the worst I've ever seen Cyprus. And I don't think it's just down to him. I think it's the players who haven't got the mentality to put on the shirt and actually perform. And there's some decent players in the national team as well. They're playing vastly below the level that they should be playing. And I know they had a tough group. They had a really, really difficult group, but I expected a bit more from Cyprus, to be honest. To go like and lose all 8 games is a bit of a disgrace, to be honest, and to only score 3 goals. But hope for... And Cyprus, speaking of which, in March, play against Gibraltar in the Nations League relegation playoffs to not fall into League D from League C. So hopefully Cyprus wins those 2 legs against Gibraltar, we hope. So now, guys, just to kind of end, like slowly start ending things off, we'll go to the Super League, because club football's back and I'm really relieved that it is now, because it's club football until March now, so that's good. First game, I guess, Offi play Volos tomorrow, which will be an interesting one, considering Offi are doing all right in the league at the moment and Volos are bottom. Olympiacos host Panathinaikos on Saturday. Balk host Panathinaikos at Tumba. Kifisia host Asteras on Sunday. Basyanina host AEK. Lamia Atromitos. And I guess the biggest game of the weekend, Aris versus Panathinaikos. Pretty massive game for you guys, Niko. You guys travel up to Thessaloniki for that one. How confident are you against Aris?
Yeah, look, you got to be confident. With Aris, though, you don't know what you're going to get. They could come out all guns blazing and cause us a lot of problems, because they are capable of that, especially at home. We can't underestimate them. In saying that, we shouldn't fear them. Go for it. Or as we've been going, keep going and going and going. The guys that didn't go play for their countries over the break, they'll be well rested. The likes of Brignoli, Schenkenveld, all them. We need centre backs to come back urgently. Palmer Brown, hopefully he's not too far away. The guys that did go away, like Ioannidis, scored a big goal for Greece, and we pumped him up. What about the goal Verbic scored for Slovenia? Even that was a bomb goal. To actually clinch their, like, officially clinch their place in the Euros for the first time in 24 years. And so hopefully he bottles that.
And that was against Kazakhstan as well, ironically.
Yeah. And Kazakhstan fought back in that. They came out firing that early period of the second half and caught them napping. So we've got plenty of time for Kazakhstan, but that causes problems. But for Verbic, he's not on the European list. So he can't play against Villarreal a few days later. So that tells me he's going to probably play a part in this game. So hopefully he can bring that, goal-scoring form and confidence in.
Christian, any games stick out to you this weekend?
Yeah, sort of more what sticks out for me is how, the Ajax and the Balx and the Panathinaikos and Olympiacos will approach these games from an 11 perspective with those European, fixtures in mind. Nicol just mentioned, no Verbic against – that's a VRL you play, isn't it?
So
do we see, somewhat of a rotated, in inverted commas, 11 for all four teams? Because I think looking at the teams they played this week and where their Super League opponents for this round are on the table, like, it's maybe a game where you could do that if you've got more important things ahead in Europe in the next few days. I don't know, it'd be interesting. Like for us, Stephen, do we see like a Solbakken or a Scarpa, start, for our domestic game? We rest the Fortuna sort of Podence. Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Well, they did that against Asteras. Yeah. We almost drew that game. They were awful against Asteras before Fortunis came on and kind of changed it. But you're probably right, Christian, because we play Panathinaikos, who, as you said, are kind of second bottom of the table. Balk play Panathinaikos, who are having a good season, but, still fairly beatable, as much as I love the style of football they play. And AEK against Basyanina, who are third from bottom. So these are teams that the bigger sides could afford to rest players for, but then also all of these sides could cause problems. They're not completely susceptible to kind of having a poor game and then not getting a win. And that's fine. And considering how close it is in the this stage of the season between the big four, it's going to be quite tough for each of these managers to rotate their players out. But we could very well see some rotation. With Olympiacos in particular, I'd hope that just Martinez starts his strongest team, and then if we're 2-0 up by half-time, then he makes rotation, substitutions. But we'll have to see. But it's nice to have Greek Super League back again. And I guess that's it, guys. Unless there's any lasting thoughts you want to give before we wrap up, anything that I've missed potentially?
No, I think we've covered it all, I'm pretty sure. I mean, one final, again, this is an irrelevant point, really, but one final thing I guess we can mention is by the time these March playoffs come around, we'll know what group we end up in if we make it to the Euros, because that draw takes place on December 2 for the group stage draw.
Yeah,
for the actual proper tournament.
That's very true. And as we've mentioned before, if Greece qualify, they will be the bottom-ranked side in the Euros, which... has never stopped us before.
No. But again, that's somewhat of an irrelevant point. Let's qualify for the damn first.
Exactly, exactly. That's why I don't, even though I want to talk about kind of what will happen if we do this, that, do that, who might we face, I don't want to talk about that because we're not even there yet. We have two teams to get past before we even talk about the Euros.
And as you boys both said, they'll give us problems in both semis and final. They'll be problems.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm confident we'll do it. I honestly, deep down, I think we're going to do it, but it's not going to be straightforward.
It would be good if we could do it. Well, but you know, best of luck to the Ethnic E when that comes. And so I guess that is it then. So thank you guys so much for listening. Please keep following us, please keep supporting us, and thank you so much for the support over the international break, because we tend to get the most amount of kind of view interactions on social media when it comes to the Ethnic E, and we love talking about the national team and supporting them through the best and more recently the worst times. Just keep recommending us to anyone who is interested in Greek football, whether that be on social media or with the podcast. And if you do listen to the podcast, please leave us a 5-star review, because we really appreciate that. It gets people listening to us even more. And thank you, Nick and Christian, for joining me today to chat about Greece and the Super League games that are coming up. So I guess we'll leave it there. Thank you so much, guys, and we'll speak to you next week.